I really appreciate that from my heart. It makes me think I'm down in South America. That's the way that they applaud when the minister comes out. And it's been my privilege to be here. Every time I've ever been in Alabama, it's been my privilege. Because I really believe that some of the greatest people that I have ever seen anywhere in the world is in the areas of Alabama. And there's a lot of sincere people that love the Lord Jesus. We've got people that come to be with us. Betty was telling me that tonight a sister was also here with her family out of Florida that's a follower of this ministry. They follow us, and some of these people actually travel around the world, and they love the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, maybe we could sing a song, Brack, before I ask the people to sit down, if you don't mind. I've got some handkerchiefs here that someone asked me to pray over, and we're going to pray over these. A lot of people don't understand praying over handkerchiefs, things of this kind, prayer cloths, but we have had some terrific results of this. Some great outstanding things has taken place in praying over prayer cloths. And the Bible says that there was aprons and things of this sort taken from Paul's body and sent out to the sick. And by these things, God wrought special miracles. So then, I've often thought that if God could anoint the ground wherein Moses stood and make it holy, and anoint this body of dust that's made out of the ground, and to tell me to be holy in body, He could anoint these. And really, this is just a means of letting people know that you are standing with them in prayer. And that gives them an incentive to look toward God, to believe in the Lord Jesus and faith in God for healing, knowing that you're standing behind them. All right, let's sing a little chorus. I love Him. Can you sing with me? All because that He first loved me, and He salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it with me again now? I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You can be seated. Right. Now, I'd like to lay these aside for just a moment. Ordinarily, I wouldn't set a meeting this late in the year in the tent. Even though we have had meetings this late, we have had meetings up till Christmas Eve. I remember one down in Louisiana that we had right there up next to Christmas, and the Lord blessed, the weather was beautiful. But ordinarily, we wouldn't have the tent up this late. But this has to do with a great, wonderful spiritual significance. That's why we're here. Now, you know, sometimes when I'm preaching, I love to just kind of have a soft approach and talk to the people real soft. Can't hardly do that here because these heaters are roaring and I got to holler at you. And that makes it a little rough. But nevertheless, I think you understand. Last night, you proved to be a wonderful audience. I could not have asked for a finer audience. You received so beautifully. You listened so attentively. and seemed to be thoroughly convinced that we was coming from the Word of God with what we had to say. For this I'm so grateful, because that makes it so much better on the minister, in that when the minister preaches, you know, if you receive, then it makes it better on him. And it makes God so happy, because you know that the Bible teaches that if you go into a city, you go into a home, and if they receive you, the Bible said, then bless those people and heal the sick there. And God will surely bless them. For the Bible said, whosoever we bless shall be blessed, and whosoever we curse shall be cursed. Not only that, but the Bible gives the minister the power, in that the Bible said he is the minister of God, and that whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted, that is forgiven, and whosoever sins he retains shall be retained, that is not forgiven. So then Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you, that whosoever sins ye remits shall be remitted, whosoever sins ye retains shall be retained. And whatever you bless on earth, I'll bless it. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it. So then the minister is the minister of God, and the Bible said he's sent to you for good. Because God tells us in his word that he wants peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And I said last night that we kind of use that for a pivot point as to peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We use that to kind of orbit around that, doing the two or three meetings that we're having here in Alabama. So the minister has a great power of authority. And the Bible teaches that you should respect them, you should reverence, you should render unto all of their needs. They that wait at the altars are partakers with the altar. Even though we don't use these things, as Paul one time said, I'd rather labor with my hands, which I have on numerous occasions, especially my early ministry, that I might not be chargeable to anybody, or that I might not make the gospel chargeable. But still, we have the right to do that. We don't solicit, we don't plead, we don't bother anybody, whether by television or radio or anything else, about offerings. And we just try to preach the gospel. We try to come into a place like this, even though Satan would like to hinder the meeting, as I said, here in Alabama or different places where people receive something from God. But we don't charge for our literature. We don't sell any songs or record, though I'm a songwriter. But we don't sell anything. We don't have anything to peddle. We don't solicit from anybody, though we have a right to solicit, because we're chartered with the government of the United States for world enterprise as to world evangelism. And our ministry is in perhaps every major language of the world as to the translation. But we don't try to bother anybody about anything. We just love to come and share with you the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, here Brother Joe has something going between the ministers that the offering should not go to us at all. But I thank God for his blessings, and I thank God for you. And we're here because we are concerned about your soul and the people of this area. I had numbers of meetings in Alabama, and all of them have been good. So then, I'm here to bless you. I have the power to bless you. I want to bless you. How could I do anything else when God's desire is to bless you? You cannot curse that which God has blessed, and you cannot bless that which God has cursed. The Bible says concerning the ministry, I know that the people of today have lost respect for the ministry. They've lost respect for the government. The Bible said in the latter times they'd be despisers of government. Some would be self-willed and some would be presumptuous. A lot of this as to loss of respect for the government is because the government has become corrupt in a lot of ways, and it causes people to lose respect for them. And it's the same way with the ministry. In a lot of cases, the ministry has become corrupt, and it causes the people to be very leery as to who they should believe and who they should follow. I've made the statement, always stay with the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's the scribes or Pharisees. Jesus said, believe the Word of God. And Paul said, wherever the word is preached, I herein rejoice, because the gospel is going to the people. Though it might be for the wrong motive that someone would preach it, like the Pharisees and the scribes. But he said, nevertheless, rejoice in that, because whether their motives are wrong or right, I hear and rejoice because of the word of the Lord. So stay with the word of God and follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. Don't put any confidence in flesh. I might say this is a full word, and I might somebody might draw up on me on this. But I want you to think it over before you do. Don't place any confidence in the flesh, not in your pastor, not in your wife, not in your mother, not in your children, not in Brother Pike the evangelist, in no flesh. Don't put any confidence in the flesh, not any confidence at all in the flesh. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I've got to put confidence in somebody. If you do, you'll be betrayed. Because the Bible said, all flesh hath corrupted its way before God, and God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we are healed, in that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Why is it, Brother Pike, that we should not put any confidence in anybody? Because the Bible says again that we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. Not even your own flesh. There's no one that would betray you any quicker than you will. Self is the greatest betrayer in the world. It is the most arrogant, ugly, unreasonable, unstable thing in the world. And it will betray you quicker than anybody else. For it's for sure that you don't want to put any confidence in yourself. Put your confidence in God. Place all of your confidence and your faith in God, and look to God for guidance and understanding, and I promise you, you'll never be betrayed. I was betrayed many times in coming up in my life because I placed confidence in different people, and I thought they were the grandest thing in the world. And in every case, I was betrayed, whether it was relatives or whatever. Once the Bible said, and a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. And he that loveth brother, sister, mother, father, whatever, more than me, that will not forsake them and follow me, cannot be my disciple. And when I learned what the Bible taught about not putting any flesh before my eyes to lean upon, or to go down to Egypt for my help, not even my own flesh, then everything worked out real good for me, and through the years it has worked out beautifully for me. So then, let's don't put any confidence in the flesh. So when I say this about the minister, I'm not telling you to place any confidence in his flesh. But I'm telling you that though many people have turned away from the ministry, it was said that in the latter times that it's coming to pass, God will bring it to pass. He said, behold, I send Elijah the prophet that he might turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest I smite with a curse. And of course, that has to do with Israel. I know there's a spiritual application of these things, and that John came in the spirit of Elias, but there's also something that has to do with Israel. We don't have time to go into those things tonight. But the minister is the minister of God. And the Bible said he is set there for your good. To them that do good, he is set there for your good. But it said, beware. If you do that which is evil, he is set there as the minister of God to execute judgment upon them that do evil. He is set there to bless them that do good, but he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. For the Bible said he is God's minister, and he beareth not the sword in vain, but he is a revenger of God to execute judgment upon them that do evil. So when he is there speaking, his words are not just words, not just vain words. You should give them earnest heed to the things that you hear, lest at any time you should let them slip. Be careful how that you hear them, and incorporate these within your lifestyle. You know, people, everywhere we go, we find people and we preach to people, and God sends people out. Sometimes I can step out of my house. Just the other night, I stepped out of my door, and before I could hardly turn around, good 60 people were standing there to hear me talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We meet all kinds of people on all levels of life. We minister to the banker, and sometimes they'll just shut the door and we'll talk about the glory of God. We minister to celebrities. We've ministered to people in the sports world, wrestlers and boxers and ball players, and all kinds of people in the high ways of life. And we have won them to God in the foreign countries and here, and we have ministered to people that have come out from the newspaper. We've had so many write-ups in the newspapers and so many articles. And sometimes, you know, there are good reporters that come out, and we run into them, and they give you the most beautiful write-up. And then some is like a snake in the grass. They come out and they'll promise you everything, and they'll talk to you, and they'll tell you everything that they can tell you. And you say, now, what are you going to do? And when they get back, they start with that little thing, and they say, Pike was over there, and Pike was this, and they say the audience, and they go through some kind of a hippie mode in their papers and publish these articles. And like a man said to me over in India, when he come out to cover us there as we was going to have a crusade, I sat down and talked with him, and I said to him, you know, you really need to be careful what you say about God's people and God's things. He said, Brother Pike, he said, I come out here to talk with you because I've been converted. He said, I've been their leading sports writer, and I've been converted to God, and I just wanted to meet you and talk with you. And said, Brother Pike, I know for sure that the newspapers don't look for nothing but sensation, something that they can sell to make money off of, and that's why they do it. Someone would say, well, that's not true. I happen to know it's true because I used to work for the newspaper. Let's give the Lord a hand. I just thank God for somebody that was straight up and straight out to tell the truth about it. So then there's times in the newspaper when you run into a great fella and a great woman. We have them from the colleges and everywhere that writes things about our ministry. And some of them are good folks, and some of them are trying to do good. But remember, you can't put any confidence in the newspaper either. That's one thing that I was speaking of last night. It baffles me how that the people of God, who are supposed to be of a great, mighty understanding, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon you and make you of a great understanding. And it baffles me how that you people that have such great, wonderful understanding, that are called to rule the world and to rule throughout eternity, the government being upon your shoulders, can put such confidence in the frivolous things of this life as to publications, whether it be books or whether it be newspaper or whatever, and especially some little college kid that run out there and got that thing and sold it to the newspaper to make some money. I am baffled at some of you people to put confidence in that and judge a situation, to judge a person, or to look at that thing the way it is. As a matter of fact, even during the time of the war, if you'll notice, when they made a publication, they'll publish something trying to get it to the press first, and then the next one that comes on the newscast, they've had to change it, and the next one's had to change it, and after a while, you're so fuddled up in your mind, you don't know what's happening. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, then it's time that we, as the people of God, begin to get our bearings and realize that it is you that God has called to rule the world. And it is you that God has called to rule throughout eternity. And that the government is on your shoulders, not upon the shoulders of the world, but upon your shoulders. Right now, all of those people that are ruling in the world, they're supposed to do that. That's the land of Esau. And God has put them there, and this is their heritage. And this is the world, and this is where they live, and this is what they've got. And they're going to place God's people under bondage just as much as they can. You know, they ease around and do it a little at a time to where you don't know that they're doing it. They make you compromise a little bit at a time to get your foot into the web, making you think that you're just a little too religiously fanatic and that you need to ease up a little bit. But if you notice, their colors are showing at this particular time, and the way that they're moving with the government and the other things, it's very obvious, as I brought the things out last night, that their drive and their motivation of life is to kill and to destroy you and your influence and enslave you, as they did, the Egyptians did, the children of God down in Egypt. And to destroy your influence and to get you to where you will deny Christ and leave off with this wonderful thing called salvation and eternal life. That reminds me, and I don't know that I mentioned it last night, but we just come out of Egypt a few weeks ago now, and we had a great, wonderful crusade there. God filled the place up. We was down in Alexandria and then over in Cairo, and God filled the building up there. It was a Catholic cathedral down in Cairo, They let us have it. We were real fortunate. It was a place that even Billy Graham was not able to get. He wanted to get. But God worked a miracle and let us have it. And then we come up to Cairo and the people responded so greatly. The buildings filled up back to the walls, even in the aisles and outside in the 40th and outside of the street. And they were wanting us to stay there for a crusade that would have swept all over Egypt because it was going so. It was like you had poured gasoline across dry grass or something. And I told my wife, I said, Betty, I said, the only sorrow of my heart concerning this is that these wonderful people that are responding doesn't realize that we're down here for a spiritual significance, not only to win souls, young boys and girls just pouring out their heart to God, praying for the sick, couldn't even get out of the building that we were so engrossed with these things until we just had to work our way out through the crowd. And I said, the only thing is we're down here for a great spiritual significance, and with this, that there's going to be a devastation that's going to come to Egypt. And it's going to be a bad situation. And that's why we're down here. And sure enough, just as quick as we got out, I explained it to my wife. And sure enough, the earthquake hit and come in. Well, it would take a lot of explaining tonight to try to explain what we're saying here. And I'm just saying, if you get acquainted words here so I can collect your thoughts together anyway. Nevertheless, it happened that way. I said that to say this, that here in Alabama, we are here for a great spiritual significance. Now, a lot of people that go to church are wonderful people. They love the Lord. They praise the Lord. They work. They give. They send the gospel around the world. And they're very wonderful people. But many of them, even the ministers, does not know a thing about spiritual revelation. They know about the Word, and that's what they need to know about. They know about the simplicity of the gospel as to repentance and find salvation, and that's what they need to know about, and they need to tell people that. Don't ever let anybody take your heart away from the simplicity of the gospel. But on the other hand, there are the deep, wonderful mysteries of God that God has for the church, and it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I am a steward of the mysteries. And it's required of a steward that he should be faithful. And so then I have come into the great mysteries of God and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my heart is filled up abundantly with so many hundreds and thousands of great, wonderful mysteries that we have preached in part in different places. That's in my heart. And it's so wonderful, I never dreamed there was such a thing. I've told my wife, I said, Betty, if the church one time could ever get their eyes open to see what God has in the great spiritual world of these wonderful things, I said, it is unreal. I had a vision where I was in heaven. I was standing, that is, between heaven and earth, up near the heavens, and I was looking into heaven. And I saw these things, and the whole heaven was filled with such beautiful conglomeration of beauty that I was so shocked. I looked back into the earth, and as I turned back into the earth, I become aware that there was a multitude of people in the earth that was looking at me. And when I turned back into the earth, I said, oh my God, I said, look at these wonderful things in heaven, folks. Look at these things. And I turned back around because I was so fascinated. And then all of a sudden, I suddenly become aware that not one individual in that great multitude saw what was in heaven. And I was tore up. I kept saying, can't you see it? Can't you see it? That was a number of years ago. And you know what? Some has begun to see it. Some has gotten their eyes open. I've talked to them as we begin to travel here and there. And they're beginning to see these things. And as I told my wife, I said, Betty, it's no wonder the world is running after sports and going after ball games and going to the things of the world and find more entertainment out there than they do in God. I said, they don't even have their eyes open. Even the spiritual world has not even got their eyes open to the mysteries of Christ. I said, if they one time could see these things, why, they wouldn't even spit on a ball game. Pardon my expression. I said, they wouldn't even spit on a ball game. These things are so great and so mighty and so wonderful that you couldn't even entice them to get out there and spend 1 minute at anything like that. All right. If you've got your Bibles, reading in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the first birth. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, right there, we'll just kind of dwell on that just a little bit. And you think these things over as we preach to you. If you can find a place in your heart for the wonderful Word of God, then allow it to come into your life and you'll be much richer. This heavenly treasure is now given to you in earthen vessels. Ever since Calvary, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. Can you imagine a human being having the wisdom of Almighty God? When Jesus was preaching and he forgave a man's sins, and they said, how can you forgive sins? But he forgave the man's sins. And then when they marveled at that, saying, you being a man, you forgive sins? And then he healed the man and said, well, if you can't understand that, see if you can understand this. And he told the man to take his bed, get up and walk. And so he did. And the Bible said the people marveled because God had given this thing to mankind. And today I can tell you that the Bible teaches that God is able to do abundantly above all that you're able to ask or even think, according to His Spirit and His blessings and His power that worketh inside of you as an individual. And the Bible says it's concerning this that there's no way to go to college and get it. I'm not against going to college. If you want to study the Bible, you know at a school, Paul taught for a number of years at a school there. And to study the Word, the Bible said to study to show yourself approved, a workman under God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. But the thing is, this wonderful thing that God is doing, the Bible said it is so high above your knowledge as to your human ability, as to your diplomacies of life. It is so high above your knowledge, as high or higher than the heavens is upon the earth. With all of your greatness, with all, I tell you what, I've talked to professors, I've talked to great learned men, I've talked to science, I've talked to some of the greatest, most knowledgeable people in the world. And I have never, as of yet, found one of them that's ever got their eyes open just a tiny bit to the great mysteries of God. Though they know lots of things, and though they understand and down to the minute, when it comes down to the things of looking into even electrons and atoms, breaking them down and splitting the atoms and going right down to the very betas, are coming right down as to understand the electrical forces of that come from the cosmos to cosmic energy coming through this hypothalamus down into our body to keep us alive. They understand those things. But even Einstein in all of his greatness and all of his wisdom was just a little tiny babe compared to one little babe of God. Think about that now. He was a little tiny babe. A little babe of God knows thousands of things that he never has even found, let alone come to understand. One little babe of God. The Bible said that when you're born into the kingdom of God, immediately that inner man is caught up to the kingdom, caught up to the throne of God, and has the power to rule with a rod of iron. And Einstein, with all of his brilliance, was like a little babe in his diaper compared to the people of God. He went as far as he could go, and when he went as far as he could go, that's just where we get started. Where he stopped, that's just where we get started. Can you give the Lord a hand? He never did get over into the infinite. He just explored the finite. And when he got to the borders, then he couldn't get across. He did tell them that he would contact them, you know, and to send them a message back, but he never did make it. But I thank God that we're able to do that. You know what? My heart is enlarged to you tonight. I wish that we had about 10 hours. Paul ministered all night long, and I wish we had all night long just to minister to you just a little tiny bit of the great, wonderful mysteries of Almighty God. It would take all night long just to bring out just a little bit. Now tonight, we're going to just kind of talk to you about some simple things, but during this time, we will probably drop in a revelation or two if you're able to receive it, or something spiritual that you might be able to pick up. And if so, then your eyes will come open to some things that will thrill your heart and thrill your soul. Now, everybody will not listen to this. Everybody will not receive this because people come for different things. Some people come to see who the evangelist is. Some people come just to be there. Some people come to criticize. Some people come to listen. Some come to understand. All kind of people come, all kind of things they have in their minds and in their heart. And some stays about 10 or 20 minutes and they're gone. Some stays a little longer and then they're gone. And some stays through the whole service. I've been fortunate in most of my ministry because I never, as a rule, lose but two or three. Now, we might have a new beginning here and I might lose the whole congregation. There are some that are babes that don't understand. And there are some people that have to go because they have jobs and they have to go at certain times and do certain things. But most of the time, it's just some frivolous something or somebody that just doesn't have any interest in anything in life and are just wandering around. And the Bible calls them a wandering star. They don't hold any post of duty. They're no good anywhere in this world or in the world to come. They're no good in the church. They're no good in the community. They're just wandering about. Some are dope addicts. Some are just fiends as to passion. And some are just money hungry. And some are looking for prestige and pride. And some are looking for positions in the world. Some are looking for careers and all kind of things. But I thank God that we as the people of God, we're looking for one thing, and that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Let me say this, and then we're going to kind of get off here, I believe, to a good start. If you're looking for anything else tonight, you've waited too late to get started. Because the coming of the Lord is at hand, and I want to say again that we're down here in the valley not by chance. This is not just another meeting, even though I'm just another fella, just another little pebble on the beach, and you're just people. And we're all here, and this is just another tent. And you've had tent meetings before, you've been in certain things before, you've heard the gospel before by radio and television and all these kind of things. But the thing is, believe it or not, you do not understand unless you've really been with God as to why this tent came here and especially at this season. For this time of year, I would not dare set a tent other than God would be in it. But this particular time, it's a great mighty thing as to a sign unto the people. And I noticed that when we come in, you have your season signs already up for Christmas, which was really fascinating to me as to what this had to do with. And when I speak about these things, I can tell as I talk to you, though you are a fine people and you're very desiring to understand what I'm saying and to believe in what I'm saying, but still I haven't made the contact yet with your spirit as to that thing of really having some idea of why this tent is here or what we're doing here. But I can tell you this, there is a great significance. It is a great, mighty significance. And God, of course, chose Alabama because Alabama is called the heart of Dixie. And it has its special significance as a state. I did not understand until I came to know God and came into the revelation of the Son of God that every state has a spiritual significance, that every individual has a spiritual significance, that even down to the little blades of grass have a spiritual significance. I never knew this. I never understood that. I did know that Paul had made mention in his writings that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. I knew that the Bible taught that, but as to what Paul meant, I did not understand. For numbers of years, I preached the gospel across the nation. For numbers of years, I'd done those things that was necessary, that I thought was necessary. I fasted and I prayed. And I prayed earnestly. And I'd stay on my knees all night long before God because I wanted to be sincere. And I would plead and I would say, Lord, give me understanding and give me wisdom because I don't know how to conduct myself before people. And I don't know how to express myself. And what can I tell them? Lord, they're not interested in somebody just telling them something because they have millions of people that do that in conversation as daily exchange. And I said, Lord, what am I going to tell them? What can I do any more than anybody else? And yet my heart is just burning inside of me, telling me that I've got to go preach the gospel. And I said, Lord, I wasn't bothering anybody. I wasn't trying to get into the ministry. I wasn't interested in religion. I was just trying to build me a little house for my wife and my children. And I was trying to make an honest living, and I had no incentive toward church or anything else, and Lord, you struck me down and left me laying flat on my back. to turn me around and put me in the ministry. And I said, now I feel that I'm to be in the ministry and I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. And God, if you don't do something for me, I just don't know what to tell you. I cried. I wept before God like a little baby. And I said, Lord, if I go to tell them people, I'm liable to tell them something and they'll go to hell and I'll go to hell too because I don't understand. I set in to seek God and I begin to seek God and I begin to run across the scripture that told me that if you like wisdom, come to God. And the many multiplied things that he began to talk with me about. And I began to read my Bible. And as I said last night, I believe I mentioned it, that I read that New Testament through on my knees. And I read the Bible through and through and through and again and again. And I went through the book of Revelation so many multiplied times I can't even remember. Reading it through to be sure that I was sure that I was sure of what it said as a natural book, just to know. I began to study the histories of the Bibles and learn about some of the different translations and even to the revised versions and all of these other things, trying to seek out the right thing to find out what was good for humanity. And God, through His wonderful love, took me through the historical chains of things all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation in the Bible and took me through the historical strides of that. There was all the way back beyond Babylon and down into Egypt and civilization and all them things back there and brought me step by step and year by year until He gave me a thorough understanding of the historical side of it, that I might know and that I might understand what was going on, not only in the biblical world, but to know in the natural world as to their recordings and great men, what they had to say about it and whatever it was, even down to what they call mythology and whatever. And I came to find out that much of the historical teachings was great and wonderful because the recordings made us keep our balance in a lot of things as concerning the translations and what God had done. Knowing that in all of the study, this book comes out as the King James Version to be what they call the original canon. And that it is the best of all of them out of all the books, whether it be the book of the Maccabees or whether it be as to the Septuagint or whatever it might be as to a translation, that this is the ideal book right here. And this is the nearest thing to what God brought that we have ever had. You know what? I can say that tonight. Perhaps you can say that. I trust that you can. A lot of people can't say that because they don't really know. All they have is history, and the word history means his story. All they have is his story about it from one story to another story, and they've had to accept that. But I went to God, and I got into the wonderful world of God, and I went into the great wonderful world of spirit, and I saw it, and I understood it, and he revelated it, and he proved it, and he proved in Revelation what was historically right and what was historically wrong. And showed me this book as an unveiled book and took me to the place to where he gave Paul the revelation of Jesus Christ for the latter day children that was to come in as to take the bride from among them. Taking the bride from among them, that Paul had to have something different from Peter. Not a different gospel, but he had to have something different. And the Bible said as the gospel was given to Peter and God worked mightily in Peter to the Jews as to the gospel, then Paul said, so has God given me the gospel for the Gentiles, and it worked mightily in me concerning this. And so then God gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I think this is one thing that really baffles me sometimes, is the fact that he gave him the revelation for you and me. And Paul was our Gentile overseer. And we are the true Jew. We are the spiritual Jew. There is no such thing as a Jew in the natural. There is an Israelite, there is a nationality of Israelites, but when it comes to the Jew, Paul said, we are a true Jew, and we are the true Israelite. And knowing this, that God sent him to us that he might bring to us the revelation of Jesus Christ, even the lovely Son of God. And it has been to us down through the church ages as we refer to it, and yet in our day, I cannot hardly believe that so few people are in Revelation and in the understanding of Revelation. And you can talk to them about Revelation and they think you're talking about the book of Revelation that John wrote on the Isle of Patmos when he was exiled out there on the Asia Minor coast on this little rocky island about 96 AD. now, and they think that's what you're talking about. And when you talk about the revelation, where Paul spoke of a revelation to the extent of the mystery where we would not all sleep, and having this great wonderful revelation that he was caught up into heaven and saw things that was not permitted for him to speak, and here we are supposed to be the recipients of this great wonderful revelation that after Calvary now is made known to the church, which is you folks, the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. And I thought, Lord, what is this? How can this be? And the Lord said, son, they are more interested in the things of the world. As Moses said, they sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. So then I realized that where the problem is that we're not following after God. We're not seeking God. We're not really calling upon God. We're not really getting down to business with God. And I noticed that a number of years ago, I read a little article where they said they had taken a survey of the churches as to the leading churches of today, the leading Pentecostal churches of today. And they had studied just a little bit to find out how much time the minister spent in prayer and how much time the average individual spent in prayer. And they said they found as a rule years ago that only 15 minutes out of a day was what the average leading minister spent in prayer. And said when it come to the laity, they found that among the laity, out of the very best of them, that the average of them spent about 3 minutes or less in prayer every day. And I thought, well, my God, it's no wonder that we're in the condition that we're in. Well, the Bible said that we're to meditate in His laws day and night, cast down every thought, all of the imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. I thought, Lord, when I think about the Word, when I think about the commandments of God, it's no wonder the plagues are upon the people. It's no wonder the diseases is upon the people. When He brought about 3 million people out of Egypt, He said unto them, He said, if you will diligently hearken unto my voice to keep my commandments and to keep my statutes and my ordinances, I will not put upon you those things that I put upon the Egyptians. The curses that I brought upon the Egyptians, I will not put upon you. And the original rendering, as you know, allow to come upon you. So then, when you think of that and you realize that the curses come upon us because we do not honor the Lord, and because we do not obey the Lord, and because we do not seek the Lord, and because we go after the medical profession of the world, we follow hard after it for everything, from every groan, every pain, whatever the things in life are, until we've got careless toward God, and we're going down to Egypt for our help, and we've gotten back under the curse after the God of heaven had taken the curse away from us. Remember, we that love Jesus, we are not under a curse, but we are under the blessing of the Lord. Not under a curse. There is no Christian that is under a curse unless he carelessly gives himself to things that he ought not to give himself to, as being lighthearted and stumbling and staggering around, not making a perfect effort to do the will of the Lord and to follow in the mind of Christ. When he does this, then Satan seeks an advantage. Because the body has never yet been changed, Satan seeks an advantage and he comes down hard on you. And the first news you know, you've got some kind of disease, you've got some kind of problem, because the devil is the prince of this world. And everything in this world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and this world. And the lust thereof shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then you're not under the curse. Jesus died to take us out from under the curse. Part of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's written that cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all things that God hath recorded concerning the law. And it is very evident that God has taken us out from under the law. Speaking of that which is the curse, Paul said, and the law of spirit and life, which is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And he said, and that which the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his lovely Son in the image of sin,
condemned sin and made an end of sin at Calvary to take you out from under the curse, that you might not be under the sickness and the sorrows and the poverty and the heartaches of all of those things that was to be brought upon them that was under the curse. I know that we have heretics, and they teach that you've got to keep the law and you've got to do these things. And because of that, the Bible said after the first and second admonishing, then reject them because they are heretics. We are saved by grace. Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is saved by the grace of God through faith of Jesus Christ without the deeds of the law. One thing we need to remember, that if Jesus had not fulfilled the law, then we would still be under the law. And as Paul said to the Jews, you have the law and none of you keep it. So then, if you transgress the law, though you keep the law of every jot and tittle, and you transgress in one place, then you're guilty of all. And he said, if you make an attempt to keep the law, then you're obligated to God to keep every bit of it. And then when you finish keeping the law, there's not one person that can be justified by the law after they keep every jot and tittle. As a matter of fact, Paul said, concerning himself, I am blameless touching the law. But there's no justification. The Lord Jesus kept the law every jot and every tittle. He never transgressed in any place. But when he finished keeping it, he could not be justified by the law. For the Bible said, as it is written, no flesh shall be justified by the law. But he had to fulfill the law to take it out of the way, because the law was not sent to save us. Peter, Paul had a dispute over this, that when he was preaching to the Galatians, he said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently was set forth and crucified. And he said, this I would learn of you, having begun in the Spirit, are ye so foolish now that ye should be made perfect by the flesh? He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, as he disputed with Peter. He said, if justification and salvation came by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain, because we had the law before he came. Now, in this, he said, I blame Peter to his face, because he was to be blamed. The mighty Peter that could walk on the water, the mighty Peter that could heal people as to the shadow passing over, the mighty Peter that had raised people from the dead. But Paul stood and blamed him to his face and said, I blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed. Because the Bible says this Peter that was so mighty and so great that he would be with the Gentile people, as to those that are the other brethren that had come into the word of the Lord, and being with these people, he would be among these people. But then when the brethren came up from a certain place, he would withdraw from these spiritual people and go back into the thing that he'd come out of. And so this is the way it is with the world. A lot of times people, though they come to God and though they seem to get an experience with God, then they run into the flesh. And then they are just stumbling to and fro, and they stay filled with condemnation, and their faith does not work. And because it does not work, then losing the shield of faith, they become a prey of the devil. Whereas the Bible said, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So then they become a prey for the devil, because their shield goes down and condemnation strikes their heart, and then they find themselves in bad circumstance. Now, what do we say concerning these things? First of all, the Bible says, happy is he that doth not condemn himself in that thing which he alloweth. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, does that mean then that I can just go out here and entertain myself with the things of the world? Can I go out here and be involved in the things of the world? If that is the translation of it, then I'm deceived. For the Bible said, come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. For that which is of the world, all that is in the world, is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and the flesh and the world and the lust thereof shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And it said, Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded the eyes of the people that they might not see when good comes. So then the Bible speaks of this great marvelous light that shined in darkness. For in the evening time, the Bible said, gross darkness as to intellectual reasoning shall cover the people, and all glory will go to the flesh, as it was down in Babylon when the old king praised himself for what he had done. And indeed, the world has become a Babylon. And then it said at this particular time, great light would spring up to the people. For now great light is spring up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. And the Bible said when this great light comes, that the people that are in darkness cannot comprehend this great mighty light. Though this mighty light would shine in their midst, yet they'd not be able to comprehend this light. But it said as to the children of light, ye shall comprehend the heights and the depth and the width and the length of this great wonderful light, or this wonderful knowledge that's called light. And said as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, ye would be in this light as the members of his body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, for he alone dwells within this great radius of this great wonderful light of the knowledge of God. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so then in this great wonderful light, you dwell. No one else can get into it. No matter how intellectually brilliant they are, no matter how much scholarship they have, the Bible said they're not wise, said measuring themselves by themselves and among themselves and seeking the honor that come of men, that they're not wise. And by doing that, they fail to receive the honor that comes from God. So then in this thing, we know that we are the children of God. And the Bible said, the wicked shall not understand when good cometh, but ye shall understand. It said the wicked shall not understand because Satan, the god of this world, had blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot comprehend this great marvelous light that we're speaking of tonight. I think, folks, how are you going to get out of this world alive? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, there's no way to get out of this world alive. How is it then that the Bible says that he that is born of God hath passed from death unto life, and death hath no power over him, and that he shall never come into condemnation? Because there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, it's because the church is walking after the flesh. How can that be when the Bible says that ye are not in this world, nor of this world? I've chosen you out of this world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or restoring of all things. And how is it the Bible says that the law and the prophets were until John? And since that time, the kingdom of God has been here. And you pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And since that time, men have been pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And the Bible again says, for God hath right now translated us as to this inner man into the wonderful kingdom of our God, having chosen us out of this world, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And the Bible said, ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice forevermore. For I've made you to set together in those heavenly places. If it is true, then God has chosen us out of the flesh, and we're no longer in the flesh. How then can we walk in the flesh? And if we cannot walk in the flesh, how is it then that there is any condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, are you in Christ Jesus tonight? Last night I made the statement, if you are in Christ, you belong to Christ. Ye are Christ. And he belongs to God, and all things are yours. And God has given you all things that pertain unto life. And you shall never come into condemnation. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For they are God's elect according to foreknowledge. And last night we brought out the foreknowledge of the predestined things of God and what God has done for you. But not all did we bring out. What is it in that we are the predestinated of God? And we are God's people by foreknowledge. And he hath elected us under grace by foreknowledge. As Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. Even at the time that they were here, Paul knew that their name were in the Lamb's book of life. And when Paul preached to some of them, and the Bible said, in all of them that were before of old, ordained unto condemnation, did not believe. For they were ungodly men that were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And all of them that were foreordained unto eternal life, these believed. Paul shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own head. And he went his way. Now, if this is true, then that means that there are some elect in the world. I said last night, we have this little common saying, it's been among the church for years, and I was no different from anybody else till I come to understand. And I passed on what they told me because that was all that I knew. But we say, Brother Pike, so many great people that I've known of that was beloved children of God has fallen away, and that these people are lost and they're going to go into hell and they've fallen away from the wonderful grace of God. But I know that they're beloved children of God. One time I've seen them serving the Lord with all fervency. Now the question arises, is this true? Is that true? The Bible said the rain is on the just and on the unjust. And the Bible teaches the rain is upon the tares and upon the wheat. And there are reflectors in the world that reflect, because according to science, and some of it is falsely so-called knowledge, there are some stars that are in heaven that are nothing but nickel and rock. And they're held up into heaven simply by the power of the day star as to the sun. And should the sun, do as scientists say, come forth in a sevenfold light and then withdraw, then going into a nova, they would fall out of heaven. Because they're not really stars. And the Bible speaks of this in three great dimensions that we cannot bring it out tonight. We don't have time to get into the strides of Revelation. But in the three great wonderful dimensions that I've been made to understand, that these stars will fall from heaven. And so it is in the realms of the church. It appeared that some is in heaven. You are they that dwell in heaven. And the Bible said God has chosen you out of this world because this world is filled with corruption. And in your inner man, he has translated your spirit into the spirit of Christ, or translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God, the kingdom of God since Calvary. And you're translated into this wonderful kingdom of God, and to the extent that you are able to keep yourself and the evil one toucheth you not. Because you cannot mix light and darkness. And because you are a child of light, you're sealed on the inside with the great, wonderful Holy Spirit. And being sealed on the inside, darkness cannot even get near the Christ within your heart. Because the day star dispels the darkness. And you're never touched at any time. And so then you are kept holy. And you are kept pure. And you are kept righteous. And the Bible says that we should walk in the Spirit if we're born to the Spirit and make manifest in our mortal genes this wonderful heavenly treasure that we already have in our mortal body or in this fleshly body. Make it manifest in your natural human genes. If this is true, then there's some stars that's going to fall from heaven. The Bible speaks in the book of Revelation of the dragon wrapping his tail around a third part of the stars and casting them down to the earth. I wish we could go into Revelation. But anyway, as to this, of just speaking of these few things. Therefore, there is among the people who wander away. They are reflectors. They seem very bright. They reflect your light and your excitement. Jesus spoke of these people. As in the parables of some that fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured the seeds as the sower sowed. And some of these things that fell among stony ground that had no roots. And when the sun come up, they were scorched and they withered away. And he spoke of some of these that fell among briars and brambles, saying that the cares of life choked these people, and they got more interested in money and career and position and social benefits and securities of life than they did in the things of God. And finally, these things caused them to be choked, and they brought forth no fruit. And then Jesus went on speaking of these different things, of the different ones that had fell away. These were not children of God. Those people were not children of God. All of these people that fell away, they were not children of God. The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But if they went out from us, that it might be made manifest, they were not of us. If they'd have been of us, they would have been with us today. They would have stayed with us, or stayed with their generation until the Lord called them. The mere fact that they went out from us proved that they were not of us. Somebody would say, well, I dispute that. Well, you'd have to dispute it with God Almighty, because He was the one that said it. And if you're going to be saved, you're saved by faith in His Word. And he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. And if you don't believe God's Word, you can't be saved, because there's no such thing as salvation outside of the Word. There's no such thing as faith outside of the Word. You can believe anything and believe a lie and be damned, but you must believe the Word to be saved. Jesus said concerning these, Father, I have not lost to one of these, but every one that you've given me, I will raise him up in the last day. And the only one that's been lost is the son of perdition, which was a devil from the beginning. Because Jesus said, I chose 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. Now, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Can I individually think of God as my Savior that has a goodwill toward me? Why is it so hard for me to accept that as a human being? Because within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For a will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For when I would do good, I find a law that evil is present with me, and it warreth against my mind. And that I would not do, that's what I find myself doing. And Paul said, this is not me. I would not do that. I have a will to desire and serve God. My will on the inside is to do the very wonderful obedience in every way unto God, to do opposites with Him and for Him all the time. He said, but this law that's warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind, it takes me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. Therefore, he said, if I do that I would not do, then it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. That is within my flesh or my bodily members. He said, and I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, though the law itself is spiritual, I am carnal, sold unto sin, not being able to perform that which I should perform. He said, Christ Jesus, as this Christ within the body of Jesus has performed this for me, and I am complete in Him. And now as to the measure of that Christ that I will allow to live in my life, so is this wonderful perfection of God within me. I'm going to say some things right here that needs to be said. It has to be said. That's why I'm down here. This is what it's got to do with. And if we had time to really minister to you tonight, you could understand more thoroughly what we're saying. So, Christ within you, the hope of glory. It doesn't matter if you are a believer. That doesn't save you. If you believe there's one God, you do well. So does the devil. They believe, the devils believe and tremble. So that doesn't mean anything. You may have an intellectual infatuation of your head, but folks, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is desperately wicked above all things, deceitful. Who can know it? Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes, as you do all of these things through religious formalities of the keeping of the tradition of the elders, you transgress the commandment of God. He said, this is not what saves you. And they disputed as to what went in the body and what come out. He said, that has nothing to do with salvation. And salvation is not in meats and eats and drinks. But he said, salvation is a thing of the Spirit. It is Christ within you, the hope of that glory, because he alone was made heir to the glory of God. And it was Christ in you, or it is Christ in you. He said, if you're going to have salvation, I say that it is Christ in you, or has been Christ in you, because many of you have Christ in your heart. But he said, out of your heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and blasphemy. Ye are they that justify yourself before men because of the things you do or the church you belong to or what you've been practicing. He said, but it's a thing of the heart, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And if your heart isn't right with God, then that means that you are lost. If your heart isn't right with God, that means you don't have salvation. It takes your heart being right with God to be a candidate for glory. So then out of your heart comes forth these evil things of adultery and blasphemy and fornication and lasciviousness. Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. And the Pharisees and the scribes railed on him and crucified him because they knew that their hearts wasn't right with God. And Jesus said to them, when they said, teach us to pray, the ones that were sincere, he said, pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because he knew he was fixing to go to Calvary, and he knew he was fixing to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle. For the Bible said the law shall not pass till every jot and tittle be fulfilled. And he knew that he was fixing to fulfill the law. So he said, you pray, thy kingdom come. He knew that the kingdom of God was coming just as quick as he fulfilled the law, because he was the kingdom of God as to the light of the world. And that he was going to be crucified, and this Christ on the inside was going to be passed on to the church to live within them as the hope of the glory of God as to eternal life. As I said last night, you cannot live a Christian life. People who say, I'm going to live a Christian life, cannot live a Christian life. And when preachers tell you if you'll do this and do that, you'll live a Christian life, that's not possible. You can't live a Christian life. It takes Christ on the inside of you to live a Christian life. Satan is in your flesh. He's too great. He's too mighty. He's too powerful. He that is in this world is too powerful for you. And you are made a little lower than angels. If he had not been more powerful, how did he overthrow Adam? And in Adam all die. But in Christ, all is made alive. It is when Christ, the spirit and nature, comes into your heart that you can conform to the image of God. For we are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this nature comes in you, and when Christ comes into you, he will constrain you and cause you to walk in the laws of God. And he will fill your heart with his nature and with love. And you'll find your image coming into the wonderful image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can say, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. For I have given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Or that is to say, because Christ is in you, he's that wonderful power. For the Bible said, when you receive the Holy Spirit into your heart, then you shall receive power, for he is God's power. So Jesus went to Calvary, and what did he do? He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. And he said, Father, it is now finished. Paul, the great leader to the Gentile church, said, now the law is folded up and laid away. We therefore conclude that a man is now justified by grace or faith through this wonderful grace given to us. We are justified by grace of God or by faith through this grace, being justified by faith. We therefore have the righteousness of God within our lives and in our heart. And you do not have to keep the law, because the law is folded up and laid away. And the Bible said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So then we know that people are heretics that follow after those kind of things. We are children of God by grace. And that is why that we should not allow condemnation in our lives when we stumble or stagger. If we know from our heart and soul that we're doing the very best that we know how, to the very best of our ability, then we should never at any time allow condemnation to do away with our shield or break our shield down, that Satan should penetrate and come in on us with his ugly doings to afflict our body. We should always have a confidence in God and in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because with my heart I believe in the righteousness of God unto salvation. I believe unto righteousness. And with my mouth I make confession from my heart unto salvation, because I am a child of God and God purifying my heart by faith. Then Christ comes into my heart, seals my spirit by the Holy Spirit that nothing can ever touch me. And as I said, seeing these one or two things right here, I take it a little long tonight because we don't have but about 3 nights. So I take a little long because even with this, we barely touch the subject. But anyway, I want to say this. Where then are we tonight? Why do I need to preach this? Why does the ministry need to preach this? Why should it be preached? Because the end of the world is here. And the translation of the church is here. And folks, let me tell you, the church world doesn't know a thing about it. You can talk to them around the world. I preached around the world, and they don't know a thing about it. And they're just as religious as Cain was and don't understand nothing about it. But I can assure you that it's here. Somebody would say, well, you don't know. The Bible said we know when it's nigh, even at the door. And when somebody's knocking at your door, that's pretty close right there. We know the world shall not know, but ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And so then we know that it's nigh, even at the door. And it's here, and you've got to come to an understanding of your faith in God and the things of God, in that the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the church. Not to perfect the church in the sense of doing and not doing things, but in the sense of perfecting their faith in God. For Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith, and we're set here for the perfecting of your faith, that we might preach unto you these things, that you might believe in your inheritance in God and believe the word of God and to those things that are given to you in Christ Jesus. And so then in this, preaching this, what does this mean? It means that with this faith, we get a perfect church. Because if we perfectly understand, then we have our hearts purified by a perfect faith. Because we have a perfect understanding. And understanding is a tree of life, as Solomon said. So with this perfection, where does that put us? What am I going to say then as to this moment of the translation of the church? Can the church then be translated in the condition that they're in today, playing around in the world and going after the world and having an unstable faith as the condemnation? No. Can they then be translated by a conviction in something they don't understand, even know? No. How can they be translated with an unstable faith of being up and down and in and out and maybe saved today and lost tomorrow and come back in the next revival and go back? You should know better than that as a people of God after all these many years. You should understand better than that. A baby's not born today and unborn tomorrow and born again and unborn. You know better than that. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. So then you know that when you are born of God, you're born of God. You're not born in God and out of God and born in God and out of God. Someone would say, well, you can be born in God and die out of God. There is no such thing as that. You know better than that. How can a man be born in God and die out of God? When you're born into God, that's eternal life. How could it be eternal life and then you die out? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you remember Adam and Eve had eternal life? Where did you ever read in the Bible that Adam and Eve had eternal life? Adam and Eve didn't have no eternal life. Adam and Eve was in the presence of the Shekinah of the eternal life. And when Eve went the wrong way, instead of choosing the tree of life, she made the same error that many people are making today as a sovereignty, going the wrong way and leaning to their own understanding. When the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, because Satan is in that body after the first birth and got control of your soul. Folks, let me tell you, now listen with your heart open. He that is born of God, he doth not sin. Somebody says if he holds on, there's no holding on to it. You don't have any power to hold on. Jesus brought this for you at Calvary. He sealed you to where the evil one touches you not. He that is born of God keepeth himself, the inner man, by the seal, and the evil one toucheth you not. You are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. That's what the ministry is here for, is to bring this to surface and to bring this to your understanding, especially in the latter time, for the translation to give you a stabilized faith. If you cannot sin, he that is born of God, the Bible says he cannot sin. Because the Spirit of God remaineth in him and he is sealed and he cannot sin because God's Spirit is there. Not only is it that he cannot sin, but the Bible said that God has saved us by the blood of his Son. God has justified us by the faith of his Son. Paul turned these people from darkness to light and unto the faith which is in me by which they are sanctified, kept under the law until this faith came of Jesus Christ. So then, the Bible said he hath justified by faith. He has sanctified once and for all with the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified. And them that he hath sanctified, he hath called and also glorified. God has justified you and sanctified you and made you perfect forever and sent the ministry to call you, because in his foreknowledge, in his works, it is a finished work, and he's also glorified you. And this wonderful heavenly treasure of the glory of that inner man that's going to be made manifest in your mortal body at the opening of the soul cocoon, it is so wonderful and glorious that the beggarly elements of this world are not to be compared with those things. Folks, we have a faith in Christ and a salvation as of a finished work, having been taken out from under the law. If transgression of the law is sin, and the law is no more, then I cannot sin, because I cannot transgress that which is not existent. The law is folded up and taken out of the way, and I am not under the law. And if I cannot transgress the law, I cannot sin, because transgression of the law is sin. If I cannot sin, I cannot die. Paul spoke of a mystery of not all sleeping, but coming to the wonderful understanding of the change in the latter times. If I cannot transgress the law, I cannot sin. If I cannot sin, I cannot die. For the Bible said that the sting of death is sin. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no sin. Where there's no sin, there's no sting. Where there's no sting, there's no death. The Bible said, and this will come to pass. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? For behold, I show you a mystery. We're going to wit the redemption of the body and come to a place to where man will not be put in the caskets, Paul said, or in the coffins. So then, what has God done for us? He hath made us perfect forever, having sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's little wonder that God said we are saved by faith, because to hear these things and to believe these things seals you in such a place that the devil is helpless, and this power over all the powers of the enemy and Satan that's in the world. You have this wonderful power to keep yourself, that the evil one touch you not. And this is the kind of faith that's stable enough that this faith will bring you into the wonderful translation of that wonderful revelation that Paul said would change the church so that they wouldn't even be put in the ground. Well, we could say a lot of things about the adoption, especially as concerning the Jewish people and the involvement. But the thing is, I had to push and shove a little bit and go kind of lengthy just to be able to get over a few closing thoughts here. I would ask you the question tonight, is there any sanctified people here? Would you raise your hand if there's any sanctified people here? All right, and you believe in the Bible when it says sanctification. Is there any people that believe the part that the Bible says, them that God has sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus? Is there anybody that believes that because of that, that they are perfected forever? For the Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And if you believe that you've been made perfect forever, then does that mean that you cannot sin? Does people sin that's been made perfect? People who sin, isn't that imperfection? People who have been perfected forever. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that. How can you go to heaven? That's what keeps you from death, is the fact that you do believe that. And those that have intellectual indoctrinations or thoughts of those things, they could never be saved from death. How could they? Because it is faith by which Enoch was translated that he should not see death, in that the heavens declared the handiwork before the scriptures or the scribes came to us. All right, so then we know that we're God's people. We know that we're sealed in. What does that mean? Discovering these things, what does that mean? That means the translation is close at hand. What does this political problem that we have today mean? It means it's the end of the way. What's all the turbulence, the turmoils, earthquakes, the signs? What does it mean today? It means that people are at the end of the way. Why are we in Alabama? It's got a great significance. I wish we could explain it. But even taking this long, we've had a number of people that they could not receive it. They could not get a hold of it. They could not understand it. Even on this level of speaking on this level, they could not get a hold of it. But some of you are receiving it. Some of you are understanding it. Some of you are getting a hold of it. This is why the Bible says, "Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." And he said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able." So then, try to understand. The righteous shall understand. And then you can come forward. The Bible said Satan shall wear out the saints. Then they'll rise and take the kingdom. It's your time now to understand. And it's your time, Paul says, to get the veil off of your eyes, that you might rise and take the kingdom. Not only the kingdom of God, which is within you, but the Bible said the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And right there, that is one of the reasons that we're down here. We can't elaborate on that. That probably went clear over your head as to say that's why we're down here. But it is. That's why we're down here. Just believe in the Lord. Love the Lord. Testify of Christ. Let your light shine that men may see your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. And let this nature make itself manifest in you. And just believe the wonderful gospel of Christ, living the life of simplicity, that you might not compromise with the ways of the world. All right, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. All right, let's stand together. A lot of things we need to say outside of this, but you've been very patient. You've been a good audience. And we kept you just a little lengthy tonight. Doing that, we did this especially because we are down here for a purpose. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have done this. I would have preached to you a good sermon, a sermonette, really. You can't preach a sermon. It takes hours to preach a sermon, but a little sermonette. And then after that, we would have prayed for the sick. We would have sang and praised God. And if you wanted to shout and dance, that would have been wonderful. But because we are here for a purpose, and there's certain people that are in this valley that has to do with this translation and this thing that is to take place. Therefore, we had to elaborate at length a little bit here so that we could get this thing over to you. And I'm sorry that many people cannot see it. I'm sorry that many people cannot accept it. But the Bible said you can only receive something from heaven if it be given unto you. And if it's not given unto you, as the foreordination of them that are foreordained in eternal life, you cannot believe. And if God foresaw from the foundation of the world that ye would not accept the word of God, then you cannot be sealed in. But ye that can believe, ye that are sealed in, then ye can be part of the eternal kingdom of his wonderful abundant life. The word abundant means filled up and overflowing. Jesus saying, "I am the Prince of Life, and I've come to dwell within you, that you may have this life, and that you may have it abundantly," or that is filled up and overflowing. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again, we appreciate your patience.
in these two or three nights, we're trying to orbit around peace on earth and goodwill from God toward mankind. Indeed, He loves you. You are His children. You are the apple of His eye. And He has a goodwill towards you eternally and forever. And don't you let that thing that gets in your members wrestle against your mind and bring you under condemnation and make you believe that God's will is not good toward you, because it's not good for a day. It doesn't change. It's not up and down. It's like the sunlight of the great day star. That sun is always up there. And when your clouds of doubt get in the way, it doesn't mean that God has changed His mind or feels any different about you. Don't be of a doubtful mind. And after while the gloomy day of your unbelieving as to your intellectual reasoning will pass on over, and that sunshine will be just as bright as ever, and the wintertime only comes to kill out the parasites. And when the parasites are killed out and God sees they're killed out, He will cause life to come into the root of your tree again, and you'll put out your branches, and you'll come forth with your wonderful fruits of the Spirit and be filled with life again. Let's sing together. Satan has fought this meeting, is for he has knocked out the organ. We didn't get to use it a night so far. And they usually have it here in the tent. But he knocked it out. And he has tried his best to hinder it. But so far, he hasn't been able to do much. And you would never have known about the organ probably if I had not mentioned it, because everything was gone along real smooth.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sing. Precious Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing this with me?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, every day I need Thee, and I need Thee now, precious Savior, for oh, how I need Thee.
Sing it like this now.
So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away. Oh, He has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus sing to stand, for all how need Him just to plead your cause on my listen to the Savior and hear His loving voice, and don't turn away.
While we're singing these little choruses, the altars are open. And while we're singing, now's a good time for you to come to the Lord and renew your vows to the Lord. Now's time for you to make sure that everything's right between you and the Savior. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. Paul said at the upper coast of Ephesus, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "Well, we've not heard so much as whether there be a Holy Ghost or not." So then, if you've never heard of the Holy Ghost, there is a Holy Ghost. And if you've never received the precious Holy Spirit, then you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Having been a believer, now you need to receive of His wonderful Spirit. And while we sing this, the altars are open.
I read where He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of death. Thank God for marvelous grace."
Sing that with me.
Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday gonna see His sweet face. With Him, the Lord for His one.
One more time together.
Thank God. There's a bridge over the river.
Can you give Him a wave offering?
See His sweet face. With Him, gonna find that forever. Thank the Lord for His pardon.
Sing it with me again.
Thank God. There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'm gonna see His sweet face. With Him, gonna abide there forever. Thank the Lord for marvelous grace.
Give me that old
time religion.
Time religion.
Time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me sing. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. And it's good. Better get that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. For it's good. Makes me love everybody. Love everybody.
Make you love your enemies.
Everybody.
And make you do good to them that spiteful use and persecute you.
Give me that old time religion.
Give me that old time religion.
Give me that old time religion.
It's good. One more time.
It will take us all the glory.
It will take us
all the glory.
It will take us all
the glory. And it's good. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion. Religion and goody.
One more time.
Better get the old time religion.
Old.
You know, that's what we need, folks, is the old time religion. The Bible said, ask for the old path and walk therein, and you'll find rest in your soul. Don't move the landmarks of the Father. You know what's wrong today? They're trying to pull up the landmarks of the Father. This wonderful Word of God all down through the years has been the landmark. This has our inheritance faked out. Don't move it. Just preach it. Love it. Tell it. Believe it. Get that old time religion.
Oh,
give me that old time religion. Good enough for me.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Having a good time in the Lord. When you receive the Word of God, you're having a good time. Because you can have a good time in praising the Lord, which we should do, to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we should have a good time in the Lord. But if we go away, not having learned anything as to the foundation of our faith, then the devil comes and takes all of our joy away from us. But beloved friend, when you realize that you are His once and for all, and you know that He has perfected you forever, you may stumble and you may stagger, but you know what? My little boys and my little girls, coming up, they would stumble and stagger. And sometimes they'd mash their finger, and sometimes they'd do some things they didn't have any business doing. And they'd come around, and I'd have to give them a good tanning for it. Good instruction. But you know what, folks? When I got through, there were still my little boys and girls. Let's give the Lord a hand. You belong to God, and God has purchased you by His blood, and there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither heights, nor depths, nor devils, nor anybody else or anything else can separate you from the love of God. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them, but every one you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. Somebody say hallelujah. I'll tell you, this is a sure salvation. Hallelujah. That makes me feel good all over. That goes slap through me from my head down to my feet. And like this, we sing that old time religion, this kind will do, this kind will do, this kind will do. Somebody say hallelujah. Wow, that makes me feel good. Let's sing another little chorus or two here. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Let's sing this little chorus that we sing quite often.
Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter into these courts with praise. And let us say this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad.
Sing it with me now.
For Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord, make me glad, and I'm going to rejoice, because Jesus made me glad. So I'll enter into His gate with thanksgiving down in my heart. I will enter into His court with praise. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice call Jesus. Sing that with me now. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice call Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice call Jesus one more time. So we've entered into these gates, got thanksgiving down in our heart. We have entered into these courts with praise. And we say this is the day the Lord God has made. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus makes me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Now then, while we're here tonight, there might be somebody that would like for us to lay hands on you. I know that we took a good bit of time tonight.
Jesus makes me glad.
But you've been patient with
me. Jesus makes me
glad. I want to be patient with you if you really need something from God.
Jesus makes me glad.
Sing it with me now. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus makes me glad. Oh, my Lord, make me glad. Oh, Jesus makes me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad.
You'd like to come?
Oh, I've entered into the gate with thanksgiving down in my heart. I have entered into the courts with praise. Gonna read.
rejoice, 'cause Jesus makes me glad.
Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad.
I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus makes me glad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my Lord makes me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad.
And I'm gonna rejoice.
Do you really feel glad in your heart? Lift up your hands and love Him and give Him a wave offering.
I'm gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving.
Giving down in my heart.
I'm gonna enter
to His courts with praise.
I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord has made. I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus makes me glad.
Sing it one more time.
My Lord made.
I wish my minister brethren would come up here. My minister brethren, would you come up here with me? Don't stay back there now. If you are a minister, come up here. I need your love and support.
I'm going to rejoice for Jesus.
Jesus made me glad.
One more time.
Oh, my Lord made me glad.
Did He make you glad?
My Lord makes me glad.
Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you praise the Lord tonight? Hallelujah! The Bible said wherever the anointing is, it'll break the yoke, and I feel the yoke broken tonight. Somebody lift up your faith to God and love the Lord tonight. Come on, folks. Can you praise the Lord? We're here to praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God tonight. Hallelujah. Father, bless this brother tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I felt God moving toward that young fellow tonight. He wanted to do something for him. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, folks. Can you say hallelujah? Can you praise God? This is Cal Meeting. Can you praise God? Can you praise God? Lift up your hearts. Lift up your hands. If God has made you glad, lift up those hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want my minister brethren to pray with me here.
As these people come up, we want to pray together. Some of you brethren, come right here, Brother Allen. Help this brother right here. Come up here, brethren. Help our brother. Hallelujah. I feel like God done something special
Jesus
for him tonight.
Makes me glad.
Hallelujah.
Makes me glad. I'm going
Hallelujah.
To rejoice, for Jesus makes me glad. Oh, yes. Jesus makes me glad.
We're going to pray for
Jesus
you.
Makes me glad.
And as we pray for you, just
I'm
kind of move through and let the others come if you will.
Glad.
God will do something special for you because I feel the anointing of God tonight. I feel the Spirit of God here. You got to admit the Spirit of God's here tonight. Come on, folks. God's here tonight. That yoke's broken tonight. God's visiting Alabama, and this is what we want. Hallelujah. That's right. Let God have His way tonight. This is Camp Meeting. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus
Come
makes
on, brethren,
me
let's
glad.
Pray. Just move right up here.
Jesus makes me
Bless
glad.
These little ones tonight.
I'm
oh,
going to rejoice.
Father,
Jesus
in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, heal Jesus these people tonight. Hallelujah,
Jesus
Father. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your anointing tonight. Hallelujah. God, do something for our brother tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, heal this arm tonight. Father, heal the shoulder tonight. God, I feel you doing it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This brother right here, I felt God wanted to do something special for him. And both of them, God done something special for him tonight. It's wonderful. Those two people already. I hope there's some more here that I feel God will do something special for. Brethren, come up here and help our brother right here. Come up here and help him, Richard. Come on up here. Help our brethren here and work with us. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Folks, let's worship God. Come on, folks. Enter into these gates with thanksgiving and with praise tonight. and worship the Lord. The Bible teaches God is a spirit and He inhabits the praise of His people. Let's praise Him tonight. Come on, praise Him tonight. Lift those hands up and praise God. It takes a little bit of energy. It takes a little bit of effort. But God put forth a lot of effort in Christ Jesus for you. You praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, just step right up here. Just come on over here. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, touch these people tonight. May the Spirit of God move tonight. I feel you, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight from among these people that they may enjoy the goodness of God. They're God's children. Hallelujah. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just step right on up here if you will. Step right on up here, little sister. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch these people. May the Spirit of God break the yoke. Oh God, may I feel you doing it. I feel you doing it right now. God, in the name of Jesus. Father, this sister is desperate. She's looking for a way out, Lord. And she's looking for a word from you. God, because she wants to follow you. No, Lord, there's a hindrance, but you're going to move it, Lord. You're going to move it. You see it and you understand. And in Jesus' name tonight, the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, sister. I felt God reach out to you tonight, and I felt your faith touch God tonight. Hallelujah. Just step right on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Will you come on up here? Just step right here and let them pray for you. Just step up and let them pray for you. Hallelujah. If you want to be prayed for, just step up here and we're going to pray for you. I feel God breaking the yoke tonight. I feel God breaking the yoke tonight. And there's some of you that needs the yoke broke off of you tonight. You need the yoke broke off of you. You need to let your faith go out to God and get out from under that condemnation. Because we are God's children. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Where's condemnation? We are free from sin and condemnation. We're God's people tonight. Hallelujah. We're God's people tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Come up here, Philip, and pray. Come on up. Pray for us. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on, folks. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible said in those beasts around the throne said, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, day and night. They never stopped saying holy, holy. Can you say holy? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you keep on praising the Lord? Can you get loose from the bondage of the flesh to praise God and get in the Spirit? The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God came as a mighty, mighty moving in his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, in Jesus' name. Bless the sister tonight. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name tonight. God, bless this precious little thing in Jesus' name tonight. Dear God, bless Angie tonight. Father, you healed her here in the valley years ago. Let that same faith be found in Angie tonight. In the name of the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, in Jesus' lovely name. Step here and let me pray for you, Angie. Hallelujah, in Jesus' wonderful name tonight. May the power of God be upon my Georgia tonight. Oh God, may thy Spirit move on Georgia. God, in the name of Jesus tonight, let the power of God move in George's heart tonight. Break the yoke. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Georgie, son, believe God's moving on your heart right now. He's got something he's wanting you to do. You just lift those hands up and praise him and let him have his way tonight. Hallelujah. Pray for him, brethren. Lay hands on him right here and pray with him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight, folks. This is camp meeting. This is camp meeting. Can you praise the Lord? Come on, folks. and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift up your hearts tonight and glorify God tonight. Let the yoke be broken. Let it your faith. It's your faith tonight that's breaking the yoke. It's God using you tonight to believe. Believe tonight. Hallelujah. Believe tonight. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you tonight. Hallelujah. If you want to be prayed for, now's the time. While the anointing is moving, now's the time. The yoke is being broken, and now's the time to come. If you want to be prayed for, I feel there's a few more that wants to come, and we'll take time for you if you'll come right straight on, because I can tell that you want the yoke broken tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some of you that need. Somebody needs. Somebody needs to break the yoke tonight. You need to move in and get the yoke broken tonight. Now's the time for it to happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Lift up your hands and praise God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Keep on praying, David. Don't stop. Keep on praying. Hallelujah. Keep on playing, Mike. Keep on playing. Keep on playing. Keep on playing. Keep on playing. Just keep on playing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep praising the Lord. Hallelujah. While we pray over these handkerchiefs tonight, believe with me, pray with me, and let God work special miracles tonight by these wonderful, wonderful things tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, anoint these handkerchiefs tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, in your wonderful name tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. God ain't through yet. God ain't through yet. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let these people get a blessing from God. Let them get a blessing from God. Hallelujah. Said they lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah. Let them lay hands on you tonight. Hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens down. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Since I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Don't you want to lay your burdens down? My burden is down.
I feel better.
Oh, so better. Since I laid my burden down. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Don't you want to lay your burdens down? Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah.
since I lay my
one more time together. Oh, glory, glory,
glory. Oh, hallelujah.
Such wonder.
Glory, glory, oh, hallelujah.
Gonna lay these burdens
one more time.
Oh, glory, glory. Can you give him a wave
of hallelujah?
Can you say hallelujah?
Since
can you say praise the Lord?
My
can you love the Lord tonight? Oh, glory, glory.
Shout hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down.
Just one more time together.
I feel better.
Oh, glory, glory. My burden down. Sing it with me.
Glory, glory.
Lift up your hands.
Hallelujah.
Close your eyes. Let's praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.